everyone. This is Thadia Locke. She's a professional pickleball player. You are number one in Britain? Female?
Yeah.
You think? Yeah, I think. I mean, is there a ranking? I mean, how does it work in the UK?
I mean, there are many different ranking systems out there for pickleball at the moment. There's not kind of one unified system. I think Dupa is probably the most universal system. And I think, without looking, I'm probably, my Dupa rating for females in the UK, I think is the highest, but I don't keep
check on it. 6, 7?
No, I'm around 5.4, 5.5, somewhere around there.
Is that where professional starts at 5+ or?
Again, pickleball, the term professional is used very loosely. It's kind of right. What actually makes you a professional. In my eyes, you are a professional athlete if you can make a living by playing that sport. And
right.
You make enough money through prize money and sponsorship, which is not the case for me. I play full time, but I also coach. You know, I am an ambassador for different brands. So for me, I kind of say I'm full time in the pickleball space because I don't make enough money through my prize money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess, you know, the term professional is used by different people in different ways.
Because in other sports, there comes a point when you turn from amateur to professional. Exactly. You sign a professional contract or something, don't you? But not in pickleball.
But not so much in pickleball, yeah.
But let's go to the beginning. So where did it all begin? Obviously, I believe you were born in Bristol or from Bristol?
No, I was born in Somerset.
Born in Somerset.
Born in Somerset, but moved to Bristol when I was about 16 for my tennis.
Right.
So I was training, I trained in Bristol from kind of the age of 14, and the commute from Somerset was too long. So I kind of moved up to Bristol at the age of 15, 16.
Go back a bit though. So when did you pick up a tennis racket?
When I was about 8 years old in my village hall. So at my primary school, they offered like tennis lessons to the kids in the village hall. So I just remember playing with foam balls in the village hall, which was so much fun. And then I don't have much recollection. Then I had a few lessons. And then all I remember is suddenly I was in regional training, but obviously there was a lot in the middle of that.
This is what, when you're sort of eight, nine.
Yeah. So at 10, I was playing all over the country, was in national training, and then started playing international tennis at about the age of 15, 16, traveling all over Europe and Asia to play. And then at 19 years old, so I was ranked 300 in the world as a junior tennis player. And then 900 in the world on the like WTA circuit. But
who would be your peers at that time? Were there people that maybe some of our listeners, viewers might
absolutely
recognize?
So I was kind of playing some junior stuff with like Caroline Wozniacki, Victoria Azarenka. So I was kind of making first, second round of those international tournaments, and those girls were winning them. So that was the difference, right? And they obviously have gone on to have incredible tennis careers. I had to make a decision at 19. I was traveling the world, ranked 900, so wasn't making any money, and it's tough at that level to get any sponsorship. So I made the decision to...
You've got to finance it as well.
So I was spending like £1,000 a week to go to a tournament, which just wasn't sustainable for my parents, and I wasn't bringing in the money. So I made the decision to go to college in America. So I got a tennis scholarship and went over to the States for 4 years, got a degree in business management, and played tennis on the college tennis circuit for 4 years, which is such a high level and was an unbelievable experience because I got to travel all over America playing tennis for free and got a degree at the end of it.
Oh, that sounded like fun.
Yeah, so it was amazing. And, you know, the girls on my team were so close. They were all international. And yeah, it was an incredible experience. Very different to the university experience in this country.
Yeah.
We definitely weren't drinking all the time. but yeah, it's something that if I could go back and do it again, I would 100% make that same decision. But I graduated from college and then made the decision to come back home. I coached tennis for about 5 years and I met actually one of the girls I was coaching, Katie Swan, who's now, I think, one of the top 10 female British tennis players. So I met her when she was 7 years old and met her family and was really, really close with her family. And the link, actually, interestingly, they are the reason that I first found pickleball.
I was going to say how you got to pickleball. So.
Yeah, so her family, Katie's family, moved to the States when she was about 14. And obviously we kept in touch. And back in 2018, I went on holiday to stay with them in the States, in Wichita in Kansas. And they said to me, oh, Thaddea, you have to come and play pickleball and meet our friend Lucy. So I went over there for a couple of weeks to stay with them, had a great holiday, met their friend Lucy. Their friend Lucy introduced me to pickleball. I think I played just three or four times in just kind of like some mums groups while I was over there.
Was this outdoors in like...
We played outdoors.
So they've got the facilities, haven't they, in the
States?
Yeah,
so we played outdoors on pickleball-specific courts. It was great fun, but I'd never heard of pickleball before other than them telling me like, oh, we play pickleball. And then when I was leaving, Lucy said to me, oh, when you go home, you should continue playing. And I said, whatever this is, we don't play this at home.
And what year was this?
This was October 2018.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so a while ago. So I came home, I Googled places to play pickleball near me.
Not many?
No, actually there were. I was like, oh, this is a thing over here. And South London area pickleball was the group that came up at the time. And Lou Stevens, who's a very big personality in pickleball in the UK, I emailed her and said, hi, I've played pickleball a few times in America. I'd love to continue playing over here. Like, can I come and join your club? And she said, yes, absolutely. What's your level? And I was like, I have no idea what my level is. So I messaged Lucy and just said, what level am I? And she said, oh, say you're 5.0, which to me meant nothing because I played this sport three times, had no idea about it. So I emailed Lou cluelessly like, oh, Lucy says I'm a 5.0. And Lou emailed me back and said, no disrespect, but if you're a 5.0, you'll be the best female player in this country. And I was like, I've played three times. Please don't put that pressure on me. And she said, oh, Lucy, who you played with? Who? Lucy who? And I said, oh, Lucy Kovalova. And she said, you do realize she's one of the best female players in the world. And I was like, oh, I had no idea. No, Lucy's just my friend. And I said, oh, she had a paddle actually with her name on. I didn't even register the connection at the time. So then I went along to the club and they had a great group of players and really, really high level players. And I met Louis Laville, who was my mixed doubles partner for a long time. Faye Plummer, who I again started playing women's doubles with. And we did a lot of drilling at the time, which is very unusual in pickleball even to this day. So they kind of really got me to understand the game, got me to understand the importance of dinking. And then Louis messaged me and saying, do you want to play the next tournament together? And I was like, tournaments? There's tournaments in this? What is this? I was like, yeah, sure. And then, yeah, it kind of started from there. But I actually, so that was in October 2018. And at the time I was working in tennis and I was also the tennis hitting partner for Alfie Hewitt, who's our number one men's wheelchair player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's doing really well, Alfie, isn't he? Did he win the US Open this year? Or was it or Wimbledon? He won Wimbledon, I think, didn't he?
He won Wimbledon doubles last year and lost in the final of the singles. But I think at the moment he's number one in the world.
Yeah.
He's just won a tournament in the States. I just saw his result yesterday. But I was due to go to Australian Open with him that January as his hitting partner. And in the December, I got really, really ill, ended up in hospital and actually got diagnosed with glandular fever. Literally a week before I was due to go to Oz with Alfie and was absolutely gutted. I was so ill. I had glandular fever, hepatitis and jaundice all at the same time.
Very ill. And that really probably takes a lot out of you.
I mean, I was in hospital for a few days and I said to Alfie, I'm so sorry. I couldn't even get out of bed, let alone go to Australia and be his hitting partner. So I had 2 months where I didn't get out of bed. Louis' family, bless them, Carolyn, they looked after me in their house because I couldn't do anything. So 2 months where I didn't get out of bed. And then I remember the first time I went for a walk, we went for a walk for 10 minutes and I slept for 3 hours. My body was just done, like destroyed. So
bit of a reset really, wasn't it?
Yeah. And what was so interesting was I was like, well, there, when I could kind of get up and move around, I was like, oh, I want to start exercising again, but there's no way I can go back and play tennis. But actually I've just found pickleball and this is perfect. Like, pickleball is a lot less intense.
Yes, it's not so physical, is it?
Yeah.
It's not so demanding on your body, is it?
Exactly. So I started playing again. I remember I would go along to the sessions at the beginning and I would last for 20 minutes and then I was just done. And I would get so upset because I was so used to my body being able to do whatever I wanted it to do. And I was like, my God, I literally can't do more than 20 minutes. And Suzanne Rouse, who's on my PPL team, I remember her at the time, she was so supportive. And she was like, Thalia, don't worry, you'll get better. And with glandular fever, you can't take anything. Like, you just have to wait for your body.
Yeah.
And so eventually that May, so about 5 months after I first got sick, I played my first pickleball tournament, the Scottish Open. And then the glandular fever took me about a year to get over. It took me...
Where is this, 2019?
So this is 2019. So
before COVID.
Yeah, so by the end of 2019 or start of 2020, I was just starting to feel like actually my body is consistently feeling good. Like it would feel good and then I'd have dips. And so then obviously 2020 came and I was like, I feel great. And we then, went... Oof, yeah, and then we went... Stopped. A group of us went to a tournament in Spain, a pickleball tournament in Spain. And we all came back with... what we think was COVID. Obviously there was no testing at the time, but it was the week before we went into lockdown. So we all went to this tournament. COVID was kind of on the radar. And at this tournament, there was no restrictions for COVID because it was also new.
Yeah.
And I remember we all came back sick. And then I remember I went to bed one night and I was like, I can't smell anything. And I just put sanitizer on my hands and I was like, why can I not smell the sanitizer? And I remember texting my friend going, it's so weird. Like, I feel really ill and I just can't smell anything. And then a few days later, we went into lockdown. We actually went into lockdown on my birthday. So we went into lockdown on my birthday. I had COVID. And again, luckily, Louis' family, bless them, because I was living on my own in London at the time. And they were like, Thaddea, we can't let you go into lockdown on your own. And because I had COVID, I also couldn't go back to my family. I couldn't go to anyone because I didn't want to make them sick. But Louis also had COVID. So they said, well, you're no more of a threat to us than Louis is. You may as well just come and stay with us. Like, we don't want you to be on your own birthday. No,
we don't want you to be with people. My son had the same issue in London. And he sort of said, Dad, you got to come and get me because next week you won't be able to. And I can't stay in London on my own.
Exactly.
So I sort of drove up, dropped him in and we drove home and he went back to his mother. And that was it. At least he was around his family.
Exactly.
You know?
So
it was a horrible time.
It was awful. And you think about now and you... kind of like, did that really happen? So then obviously I just started to feel better and I was like, right, now I've got COVID and now we're in lockdown and we can't leave the house. So I guess that was, we were locked down what, until about July?
Yeah, March 2020 it came in and I think it was 8 weeks and then and there was a 2-3 week and then it came back again, didn't it? And then it wasn't really, I think, till about the July when we got sort of some sort of normality, wasn't it? And then September and I think we started later part of 2020, wasn't it? So,
but what was, it was such a shame because kind of at that point, March 2020, pickleball was really starting to pick up momentum and Karen with Pickleball England had a lot of plans. And then it was suddenly just like everything was like stopped. We can't do anything. And it was a shame because I think pickleball really lost the momentum that it had. But I think at this point, we're now seeing, you know, that momentum, it's really amping up and so much is happening. So obviously, 2020 was a bit up and down with tournaments, but then 2021, I think, again, we kind of got back into the rhythm of tournaments and normal life. And
well, as a professional or no, just competing in
tournaments? So I was competing in tournaments. I was working at the time in tennis. So I was kind of just doing pickleball on the side. I was playing tournaments. I think I kind of became a bit of an ambassador for the sport. And within the UK, you know, I was lucky that when I first started playing, my skills transferred well from tennis.
Yeah.
And I kind of came in at then what was like the top level. I had great partners. I played mixed with Louis. I was playing women's doubles with Faye, who at the time was the best woman in the UK. So I was super, super lucky and getting a lot of different opportunities and doing well in tournaments. And I think things just gradually kind of, things just kept coming my way. And I think I saw... wow, this sport has so many benefits. You know, it's great that I'm going out and winning matches and winning tournaments, but actually I can see the benefits to people's mental health, to people's fitness, to like so many things. And I thought, my God, I love this so much. I've never been involved in a sport where I just feel so happy and the people so friendly and we have such an amazing community. And so I just gradually kind of started doing different things within the space and was getting cool opportunities. So yeah, but I was doing it alongside a full-time job at the time.
Funny that, because I've only been playing 14, 15, 16 months now. It was immediately I started playing and I was going, wow, something about this sport. And then our demographics are a little bit older. And obviously you're one of the younger side and trying to get my lads involved.
Not that
young. A lot younger than I am. But it was also trying to see that potential of, I could see, for me, I mean, I had a break from work and I saw the fact that when you go and play pickleball, you're in the moment and you cannot focus on anything. It doesn't matter what's going on outside of your work, where you're stressed. But when you're playing, you're in the zone, you're in the moment. We have 2 hour sessions at a time. And I thought, there's something about this sport. And our club, the people, I thought, is it just everyone's lovely.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was just like there. And I like you. And I just, this is why I'm doing this, is that it's not about any sort of financial gain. It's about talking about the sport.
Yeah.
And I can see all the benefits. I wrote a list of things that I could talk about. Kids, getting kids involved, getting disadvantaged people involved. Yeah. I went to a tournament down at Southampton and I saw a guy in a wheelchair playing with able-bodied people and I thought, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and it might be the same when you see Alfie playing tennis and I was like, God, how does he play such a level? And there's so much benefit. And that's why when I met you the first time, when you came to do some coaching, you said there's three things you do. You said you coach, you play, and then there's pickleball community, which you called it, which is this sort of just selling pickleball as a sport?
Yeah, just kind of helping grow the sport, but I think also just showing people like pickleball can change your life. The amount of stories I've heard where pickleball has changed people's lives, and that's not necessarily people that are winning gold medals every week and are the best players in the game. This is people of all ages, all backgrounds, all abilities, and pickleball has changed their life in so many different ways. And I think that is amazing to have something so positive in the world that can just literally change your life.
There's a couple of people, I'll keep them nameless, but they've said they lost their partners over the last few years.
Yeah.
And they said pickleball has saved us, saved me, because it's something that gets me out at night, saved me sitting there being on my own.
Yeah.
And I've started integrating again and, you know, and you go, wow, that's great. And then just, the lads came and had a go and knock around with some friends at Christmas, and they, like, Mikey's more into it than Charlie, but the name doesn't help. They all go, what's pickleball? And it's like, and Sarah's daughter came and played, and they really loved it. And it's like that perhaps, I don't know how that's going to sell it, but it's, I don't know. And I think as a sport, it's quite cheap to get in, because I know we've got this competition with paddle.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But you know, paddle's inexpensive. Yeah. You know, courts cost a lot of money, but for schools.
Yeah.
And it's simple, isn't it? Every school seems to have a sports hall. Yeah. They've got badminton courts.
Yeah.
Why aren't they doing it more? Yeah. And, you know, and also, I would have thought, I mean, I wasn't a racket sports person, but I always played a bit of everything and picked up things quite quickly. But pickleball would be a wonderful intro or starter for tennis.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, when you were young, did you start with a proper size racket and it's quite big, and with a paddle, and it just gives you those hand-eye coordination skills?
Absolutely. I mean, I think pickleball it's so easy for anyone to pick up, you know, whether it's children, whether it's people who don't come from a racket sports background, whether it's people that come from another sport, you know. And like you said, I think it's so easy for kids to learn. The ball is obviously a plastic ball. The ball doesn't bounce as high as a tennis ball, so it's much easier for kids. The paddles are much lighter. The court's a lot smaller. So, you know, it's easy for kids to learn. It's easy for people that have maybe played tennis their whole lives, but actually they can't run around a tennis court anymore.
No.
When I see a tennis court now, and I go on a tennis court, I think, how on earth did I ever run around this? It's massive.
It's huge.
So yeah, I think it's...
Do you play singles at pickleball as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I play singles, doubles, mixed doubles. And I think, again, everyone always asks me, which is your favorite? But I think, I don't really have a favorite. They're just different. Like,
I was going to say, because I haven't played singles. I've played knocked about with Krista in singles.
Yeah.
But I find that singles seems to be a bit more like tennis.
Yeah, definitely.
And people play it like tennis.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether there might need to be a rule change to make it more accessible. Because a lot of people go, oh, I don't want to play. I have to run around too much.
Yeah.
And we have it as a dream breaker in the SEPL.
Yes.
And they're going, why? We play doubles and then we're tied, and then we play a singles dream breaker. We go, that doesn't make sense, because it changes the way you play. And
absolutely.
Not that I say, I think it'd be great fun playing singles, but I don't know whether there should be
the option of
an option
maybe
of making it a little bit more, I don't know, making it, because that's what's so great about doubles, isn't it? It's tactical. It's like a chess. It is like a chessboard, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
It is really good. And as being a tennis player, because we've played it, and we call a lot, there's a lot of bangers that come out of tennis to start with.
Yeah.
And then does there come a point when you go, ooh, I've got all the skills, but I need to rein this back a little bit?
Absolutely. I think,
was there a eureka moment?
I think, well, for me, I was lucky from the beginning to be taught the importance of the slow game and of dinking. And I think coming from tennis and coming from a sport where I would have to go out and drill for hours, I had it in me like, oh, well, I'll just go and dink for an hour, like, to figure out how, you know, how I need to build a point. I think, you know, coming from a tennis background, I understand the importance of needing to build a point before you can win a point.
Yeah.
I think a lot of tennis players come over and they're like, small court, softball, I'll just whack it really hard. But actually, it is a small court. And when there's two people stood down the other end, you actually need to find the spaces rather than just whack it. Because half the time when you whack it, it's going out anyway. So I think that's something when I'm coaching, it's really important to me to try and teach people the importance of the slow game. Because actually, in my opinion, it's also way more fun to have rallies that are 20, 30 shots. And like you said, that are like chess, that are like cat and mouse, rather than rallies that are three shots long. The ball's whacked three times. Nobody knows where it's going. Nobody really has any control over it. And the rally's over in three shots. Like, for me, it's much more fun to have that cat and mouse element.
Is the game like that, played like that at the high level?
Yeah. You watch like the highest level of pros in the States, and their rallies are so, so long. And it's a mix between the soft game, then the speed ups, then the resets, then back to the dinking. So, you know, there is that, the hard game in there, but they're just picking the right moments to attack. Because when you play people that are better than you, if you attack at the wrong time, they're ready and they're just going to hit the ball straight back through you anyway. So it's learning.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of people play in, you know, within their groups and within their clubs, and it's easy to play against the same people week in, week out and think, well, I can beat them by just hitting it hard. But actually, when you, as a player, if you want to grow and get better and you go and play different events and different things, then you start to realize, oh, actually, there are people better than me, and I do need to understand and learn that slower game so I can beat those people as well.
It's interesting, because one of the things, you know, you come out of sport and like to spin and slice and stuff, and you mentioned, like, we don't really spin a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like, and also, and then you introduce spin, you do introduce a sort of a modicum of error, don't you? Because it's more risk involved, whereas just getting it over the net, I think patience is so important in pickleball, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think I always use the analogy of, you need to learn to walk before you can run.
Yep.
If you can't do a basic dink or a basic shot with a, you know, a flat paddle, why are you trying to learn to spin it? You can't get the ball in with a basic shot. Why are you trying to run before you can walk? And I think, you know, it's great fun. Like you said, I think there's that balance between, yes, we want to get better, but we also want to have a bit of fun. It doesn't want to be so rigid that it's boring and actually I don't want to play anymore. So it's finding that balance, I think, between the two.
So how is the coaching going?
It's going really well.
Is it easy to find people to coach, or do people, is there a coaching board, or is it,
no,
or the Pickleball England sort of promote coaching, or is it something you have to drive yourself?
So for me personally, I kind of manage my own coaching. Pickleball England are, within the next few months, releasing their own coaching curriculum, which will be really great for coaches in this country to sign up to and get qualified and kind of have a consistent kind of coaching curriculum. But for me personally, I'm qualified at the moment through the IPTPA, which are like an international coaching qualification.
Yeah, I've done level one.
Yeah,
I haven't done the online bit. the rules bit.
But the
transition from that to level two is very difficult.
But I think,
because there's a lot of shots you have to be able to master.
Yes.
I don't necessarily agree makes you a better coach.
Better coach, yeah.
But I've had a conversation, you probably know, you might know Rob.
And
Rob was saying, because in America, at level two, you can charge people money to coaching.
Yeah.
Therefore, they feel that if you're going to try and teach people, you need to know all the shots and be able to demonstrate them. But in other sports, you don't necessarily have to be able to demonstrate a shot and be good at it.
Absolutely.
To actually explain. So I find it's quite difficult, because I think that will stop people wanting to be coaches as well, because it makes it harder.
Yeah. And again, I don't know if in the Pickleball England coaching curriculum that's coming out, I don't know if there's that skills test, like you said, like there is in the IPTPA.
I think Rob had a lot to do with that, and I think there's a different curriculum, but I think there still might be.
Okay.
But I don't know. I couldn't say. And one of the plans is to get Rob on later on.
Yes.
And have a chat about coaching.
And Rob's great, and he's so knowledgeable. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Very enthusiastic.
Very, very enthusiastic.
I'd call him Mr. Pickleball in lots of ways, in a nice way.
But yeah, I mean, you said about coaching. To be honest, with the stuff that I do, I'm very lucky, and I kind of just, people kind of approach me, and with the time that I have at the moment,
Do you have any time?
Yeah, the time that I do have, I'm lucky, and kind of people approach me, and you know, I'll do as much as I can because I love helping people. So at the moment, I'm not having to drive that too much. That might not be the same, you know, in 6 months to a year, I don't know. You know, I only kind of came into the pickleball space in kind of October last year, full time.
Right.
So at the moment, there's really good momentum, and I love going to clubs and helping people and meeting people that love pickleball. I think it's just amazing. And, you know, I'm learning constantly as well. Like, I don't know everything. And actually, for me, you know, when I play and I'm learning things, I love being able to then take that to other groups. And again, it constantly evolves. Like something I might have taught 3 months ago, I might have slightly tweaked or reassessed and thought, oh, actually now I see that a little bit differently. Let me do something different. So I definitely try to use what I learn through my playing and learning from other players to help other people as well.
And regards training, and obviously as a pro,
yeah,
you're not managed by anyone. No. So you have to be self-motivated. I mean,
yeah.
So apart from going away and doing tournaments and stuff like that, how much training do you do? And yeah. What is your sort of regime around diet, training, yeah. rest and recuperation, nutrition and all that sort of stuff?
So is, like you said, it's very hard to be consistent when I'm away, then I'm here for a few weeks, then I'm away. So it's something I'm still trying to work on. I, from a fitness side of things, I am a member of an F45 gym, which we have around London, which is right. kind of like circuit training with weight. So a mixture of like cardio, weight, strength, conditioning. And then I do a little bit of like personal training with the lead trainer from that gym. I would love to get more time on court. I have been very fortunate in that I am now able to train at David Lloyd Royal Berkshire. They've allowed me and Pei, my women's doubles partner, to go in and use the court space to drill on. So we've been drilling a little bit more. Again, in Southwest London, we are really, really lucky that most of the top players within the UK live kind of within about an hour and a half radius. So,
right.
you know, me, Pei, Louis, Freddie, James, Ben, you know, there's a great group of us. And again, there's actually more women now, like Hermani, Mercedes. There's a few other girls that we play with.
You're going to have to tell me some names later. Yeah, yeah. you can tell me who should be good to get on and have a chat with.
So we try and play as much as we can, but again, we struggle with court space. So
madness.
Now that we're coming into the summer, there's kind of 10 purpose-built outdoor pickleball courts around London. And I'm lucky, actually, two of them are within a mile of where I live at Imber Court. But again, there's no lights and... when the weather's bad, we can't play on them.
Is there at Imber Court, the old Met police ground?
Yes,
they got
exactly.
court there.
There's two outdoor pickleball courts there.
We used to play rugby up there, and it was fantastic yes. facilities.
Yeah, amazing. So yeah. when the weather's good and, you know, when it's warm enough, we can play there. But we struggle as a group to find indoor courts. We do a little bit of training at Roehampton Club once a week, but Louis is really kind and gets us in there. But again, we're not as a private member.
We've been up to Telford
club.
Because apparently after the Open,
yes,
an entrepreneur, they've set up purpose-built courts,
yes.
center,
yep.
for, just for pickleball.
Yes.
And there's talk, because I had a chat with Martin and he was saying they are looking at entrepreneurs, because Martin's trying to, he's running for national director with Pickleball
okay.
England.
Okay.
But he was saying that they are in conversations with other entrepreneurs. But
yes.
again, this might lead nicely on to write who should run pickleball. And I know
yeah.
you work with the LTA and I don't want to put
yeah,
you in any
yeah.
difficult positions, but I just signed a petition saying we don't want the LTA
yeah.
to run Pickleball England
yeah.
because I think the feeling is it's just going to be discarded and pushed down the ladder. And conversations, and I saw a paper article, I think, where James Chowdhury mentioned
yeah.
in the Telegraph, and it was saying
yeah.
you know, paddle is now under the umbrella
mm-hmm.
of the LTA.
The LTA, yeah.
Without putting you in a spot, where is your view? Do you think they should self-officiate and let Pickleball England just get on with it? But I know that Pickleball England want to be recognised as a sport, because
yeah.
if they're not recognised as a sport, and I still don't understand this thing being recognised as a sport when you've got a sport
yeah.
that is so good for every demographic for children, that Sport England don't just go, Pickleball, you're a sport.
Yeah.
You can apply for funding.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on that conversation at the moment?
So I have been playing Pickleball England, I think, were founded maybe a year to 2 years before I started playing. So I've been along the journey a lot of that with Pickleball England. And I first met Karen and Chris, you know, very early on in my journey.
Job.
Yeah. And I think they've done an incredible job. You know, Karen invested her own money in Pickleball England with no, you know, no kind of thought of I want to make a return on this, or this might even work, this might not work. And they've done an incredible job over the last 5-6 years of taking the sport from something that was quite small that people didn't really know about to where it is today. And, you know, having played a lot around Europe, the structure that Pickleball England have put in place, the amount of clubs that we have in this country, pickleball in England is so much further ahead of the rest of Europe because of the amazing work that Karen, Chris, Frank, have done in building the sport in this country. And, you know, last year they ran the English Open, which was the biggest tournament outside of North America. We had over 1,000 competitors from all over the world.
They've got a lovely poster of the history of pickleball. And yes. It says 2022, I think, or 20 was the first major open event. Competition. Yeah.
So for me personally, I would love to see pickleball stay with Pickleball England. I think, you know, they're in it for the right reasons. They understand the sport. They understand why people love it. They've done a great job. They run amazing events. They run, you know, festivals, leagues. They inspire so many people to volunteer and give their time up to run clubs. So for me personally, I would love to see it stay under Pickleball England. I also signed the petition last night. I would love to see it stay. You know, pickleball is a sport in its own right. We don't want it to be secondary to tennis, to paddle. I think the LTA, you know, they took over paddle a few years ago, and you know, paddle has done pretty well, but I don't think paddle is necessarily where it would be if it had stood on its own feet as a sport, you know, as paddle rather than a...
Well, the numbers I saw the other day was, I mean, tennis has 5.6 million participants, paddle 175,000, and currently, pickleball is about 12,000.
Yeah.
But by next year, want 25,000.
Yeah.
You know, that's 100% growth.
Yeah.
You know, and it can only get bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I try paddle, and I think it's great. So I think there's room for all these sports.
Oh, absolutely.
I used to play squash a bit.
Absolutely.
And I think it's great fun.
Absolutely.
And there's room for it all. And I just don't know why people just don't come together and go, right, let's help. Because getting anybody to play, whether it's a child or someone who's got mental health issues, you know, we've got a doctor in our club, and I mentioned about doing stuff like this, and you know, and they're, you know, just the fact that you, the doctor could say to somebody, look, you're struggling with mental health issues, I've got an idea for you, why don't you go down this local pickleball club 100%. And just an hour of your time and see how you feel at the end of it, you know. And I know it all seems to be about bureaucracy, and I don't know if it is it money. I don't know what do you think the LTA, why it's so difficult for them to embrace it, or what, do they just want control? Do they feel that they lose control of these sports that they might go off and it might affect?
Yeah, I mean, they could potentially see pickleball as a threat. You know, having seen the growth of pickleball in the US, it's been massive. And
yeah, something like 9 million.
Yeah.
Is one number I heard, but others said it could be closer to 20.
Yeah. And I think, you know, pickleball, I mean, since I started playing it, I have seen the potential, and I've kind of always said pickleball will be one of the biggest sports in this country, in the US, in the world. And, you know, the LTA weren't interested in it a few years ago when it kind of came up on the radar. It was very much poo-pooed of, oh, no, you know, pickleball's big in the US, but paddle's much bigger in Europe. So, no, we're not interested.
Why do you think it's so successful in America, though? I mean, because tennis is massive in America, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. I think...
So they run alongside each other?
Yeah, they run, you know, side by side. I don't think, you know, there's space for all of these racket sports, tennis, paddle, pickleball, they can all live together. It doesn't need, you don't need to pit one against the other. I think people in America, there's obviously so many people, and I think they just see the benefits of it and they love it, and it's an easy sport to pick up. It's cheap to play, especially in the States. You know, most of the courts in the States are free. So you go along and you don't have to pay anything because they're just
turn up like a public court.
Absolutely. So I don't know. Maybe the LTA see pickleball as a threat to tennis. I wonder whether they kind of want to use it as, oh, well, there's this many people playing pickleball, so we can say that now this many people play tennis. But again, it doesn't need to be lost to tennis. Pickleball is not tennis at the end of the day, and it's never going to be tennis. It is an incredible sport in its own right that I just think should be governed by the people that have made it to where it is today in the UK. And, you know, Karen, nobody sees the time that Karen puts in, and she doesn't get paid.
No.
And she's retired, and she's basically got a full-time job, and she does it because she loves it. She's passionate about it, and she sees the benefits that it brings to people's lives. And, you know, I think it needs to stay with the people that have believed in it from the beginning and, you know, built it up for the right reasons.
I have a feeling, I still feel like tennis is a little bit more of an elite sport. That it's privileged, people get to play it. And also, how many great players have we brought over in my lifetime? You know, Tim Henman, people say, but he never won a major, you know.
And he was an amazing player.
Yeah, no, and I don't, and I've heard this about, you know, people, moaning about footballers and saying, oh, he's rubbish. And then I've heard a professional footballer go, no, no, I wouldn't say that. I say he's off form because I know how hard it was to get to that,
absolutely,
that point.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I don't, you know, and also like Andy Murray, you know, poor old Andy Murray, Federer, Nadal, yeah, Djokovic, yeah, yeah, had a career. If he, you know, when Sampras was at his game, you know, he didn't have that level of competition.
Yeah.
And the fact that those four guys have dominated tennis for 20 years.
Yeah.
And but in Britain, you know, you struggle to sort of pick out names of people who have been that really successful at tennis. Yeah. And you think, well, if you have got all that money and, you know, why there must be talent out there. And yeah. I was thinking, no, even like pickleball, I don't know if you've seen anyone yet, you think, oh, that person got some potential,
yeah,
even
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And if you could keep them on a pathway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think there will be, I mean, will Pickleball England go get to a point though, if they, because it's soon, isn't it? Is it Sports England then decide whether it's going to be recognised as a sport, or is it the government? Because there's some vote going on in March. I don't quite understand it, or don't read about it all.
But. Yeah, yeah. Again, I don't fully understand. I know there is, I think, a decision being made. I think there's a couple of things. I think there's a decision being made to recognise pickleball as a sport, and then obviously a decision as to who governs pickleball. But again, I am not across it. I don't, you know, I help Karen and Pickleball England out where I can, but I don't hold an official capacity with them, so I'm not fully across it either. So I guess it'll kind of pan out.
Do they manage the professional pickleball leagues as well, or is that a different body, or is Pickleball England the runs it all, controls it all at the moment?
So Pickleball England kind of manage, you know, the tournaments in the UK. They are a hub for clubs to use as contacts. You know, they.
You're in a professional pickleball league, though, aren't you?
The PPL. So the Premier Pickleball League. So no, that's not Pickleball England. So that is, so Ed Hares, who's one of the players. So he had an idea, I guess about a year ago now, and then created the Premier Pickleball League with some of the other players. So Louis, Freddie, Molly, Ed, and his partner, Emily. So that's supported by Pickleball England, but that isn't run by Pickleball England. So that's kind of an idea of the players brought to life by the players. So that's a separate entity.
So you go around just competing against each other?
Yeah, so we have a league. So there's six teams in the league, six captains. I'm one of the captains. And then we each have a team of six players, which we drafted. So they opened it up to everybody, said anyone can apply to play in the league. We then got lists of all the players. We had a draft where we picked our teams.
Minimum Dupre level rating?
I don't actually think there was. I think anybody could apply. And then across...
But you're rubbish, you can't be in my team.
No, across the space of the last year, I think we've had five fixtures, and then we have a grand final in April.
Right.
So it's been it's been incredible. What the guys have done has just been amazing. And when I drafted my team, it was something for me that I looked at and I thought, actually, this is a really great opportunity to help develop players.
Yeah.
So I picked my players kind of based on, you know, they might not be the best players now, but I see these people have potential and I want to help them grow and develop. And my team have done amazing. We actually finished top of the kind of in-season table before we go into the grand finals. And it's been so great to see so many players come in and have the opportunity to compete with the top players and see how they've developed, and actually the camaraderie between all of the teams, and they've developed it. So, you know, the first fixture, we just went and we just played the matches against each other. So each team within the season plays every other team twice. So the first tie we had, we just...
Like a league table. Yeah. You know, like the Premier League. It's like
exactly.
A Premier League.
Yeah. So the first tie we had, we just went and played the matches. Whereas the last one we went to, four of us did a coaching clinic. There was also a festival that anyone could go to that was running alongside.
Was that the one down near Borden?
In Kingsley.
In Kingsley, yeah.
So they had the, you know, the matches going on, the coaching in the morning, the festival going on. So they've grown it from something that was just kind of for the players that got picked to now it's, hey, you know, we're going to run a festival, people, we're going to run coaching that, you know, you can come and get coached by the top players, but also you can then.
But how is that marketing? Because I didn't really hear about it until you sort of said to me, well, why don't you come down to Kingsley?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was
social
media is a certain demographic understands social media.
Yeah,
the world
absolutely.
That we live in, although some of the kids don't even watch TV anymore and they just stream everything.
Yeah.
Is how do you get that out there?
Yeah.
Get the
everybody.
Interest to everyone to go, come on, watch this. There's an opportunity to be learning. You know, schools aren't buying into it. You can't sort of advertise in schools yet.
Yeah.
You know, how are you promoting that?
So I think the guys, it is kind of, it's a work in progress. So they obviously, like you said, they have an Instagram account, a Facebook account. There's also now a website for Premier League Pickleball. So they do, they kind of, obviously the results are up there. They put various blogs up there. They will highlight when the players from the league have, you know, done well
in
tournaments.
I'm going to have to hashtag them in this.
Yeah,
then.
You will.
If I knew what that
is. You will.
Yeah.
And then, so next season they're looking to grow. So next season they're going to have three leagues. So there's going to be the Premier League, which is obviously what we had this year. There's going to be a Challenger League for players that, you know, are kind of on the up and might not quite be good enough for that top league, but there's a Challenger League to help develop players. And then there's also a 50 plus league. So a league, exactly, see, you can enter, come on.